If you remember last week, Pastor Chris was here. That was awesome, wasn't it? Yes. Pastor Chris was awesome. And if you remember, he actually used this in his sermon. And I felt like it would be a great place to start off with today and really to stay in for the most of it. So Matthew 3, we're going to start in verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Can we read that together? "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." I've entitled my message for you today on this Father's Day, "The Father's Approval." The Father's Approval. I wondered if you could guess who said this quote. I'm going to read you this quote. See if you can guess who said it. "We all know the statistics that children who grow up without a father are 5 times more likely to live in poverty and commit crime, 9 times more likely to drop out of school, and 20 times more likely to end up in prison. They are more likely to have behavioral problems or run away from home or become teenage parents themselves. And the foundations of our community are weaker because of it." Does anybody know who said that? Nope. Barack Obama. Yeah, surprising. That was back in 2006. A lot would change right now. Listen, I don't know. You could, honestly, I feel like you could get canceled for some of that today. But that's what he said, and it's true. It's true, especially the foundations of our community are weaker because of it. See, in 1960, a poll was taken. They looked. 5% of America's children entered the world without a mother and a father married together. Just 5% in 1960. In 1980, it was 18%. By 2000, it had risen to 33%. In 2015, it reached 41%. We are in a fatherless culture, a culture that doesn't honor fathers, respect fathers, or care about fathers. In fact, in many ways, fathers are the butt of a joke. The fathers are mocked in our world in a lot of ways. I mean, look at Homer Simpson. Homer Simpson is a perfect example of that. Our culture is although they're dishonoring fathers and the role of fathers, at the same time, our culture is experiencing the consequences of a fatherless world. And I believe that most cycles of sin in our lives, in your life, in my life, they start with a need of our own validation, our own acceptance, and approval. Most sin doesn't start because you're trying to be a bad person. Most sin is happening because it's not like you want to do bad things. Your sin, these sin cycles happen. The sin that we get into happens because we have a desperate need for approval. A desperate need for validation, a desperate need for acceptance. We want, and it leads to different areas in our life, different issues. I'll tell you about once when I was like five or six years old. I couldn't read yet. But I was on the bus, and I was just a little young, you know, had a pumpkin pie haircut, you know, whatever. That was me. And I'm on the bus, and this kid comes up to me, an older kid, and he hands me a sign, and he says, "Hey, lift this up over your head." And I'm like, "I don't know." He's like, "Yeah, just lift it up right over your head." And I'm like, "I don't know what it says." "Oh, it's good." I knew it wasn't good. But I wanted approval. I wanted acceptance. I wanted validation. So I held up the sign, and the sign said, "Big F you," right across the top of it. Yeah, I know. I didn't know what it meant either, right, or anything. The next thing you know, I'm in the principal's office, and then the next thing you know, I'm, you know, getting the belt from Dad, you know? It's like, I paid for that dearly. But the reason why I did it wasn't, I wasn't trying to be bad. I wanted approval. I wanted acceptance. I wanted validation. I wanted the father's approval in my life. And listen, even if it's not that, maybe for you it was like when you were, I don't know, when you were a kid and you tried beer for the first time because your friends thought it was good, right? Anybody? Did anybody even like it the first time they had it? Don't lie. I love the guys like, yeah, I've liked that ever since I was 7. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. It tastes like tears and sweat. It's you have to get an acquired taste for it. But when all your buddies are like, come on, you gotta drink this, this is awesome, you're like, okay. Why? I want approval. I want validation. I want acceptance. Nobody joins a gang because they want to, you know, ruin society. No, people join gangs because they're looking for acceptance. They're looking for hope. They're looking for approval. In fact, I was thinking of the Kingsmen that used to be a biker gang down in Delavan. And our house got broken into. And they come to find out the reason our house got broken into is my wife left her purse on the island, on this area that she always leaves it in, and I left the sliding glass door open. Well, basically they came, stole the purse. We found it, long story short, we found it behind the barn at our old house, and the guy was just looking for money. But the investigator told me, when the police came, they told me that it's actually an initiation for them to go get money for the Kingsmen gang, for their club, for their biker club. So they send these guys out so that they'll find it. And again, they're doing it because they're looking for family. They're looking for acceptance. They're looking for approval. You know, most people, like it was said by Barack, most people who are in prison are fatherless. Most people who are in drug rehabilitation are fatherless. Most people who are addicted are fatherless. Most homes, people who are homeless are fatherless. Listen, I'm not trying to beat up anybody. I'm just trying to show you that we have a pattern society that where a father is missing in our society, then our society is damaged because of the loss of a father. I'm not saying moms can't take care of their kids. You can, for sure. But there is something that needs a father in all of us. There's something with us that we try to achieve and get from other places that only a father can give. And if you don't get it, you're going to try to get it from somewhere else. If you don't get it, you're going to try to fill that void with something else. Maybe it's food to make you feel better or other people. Maybe it's the car you drive. If I just had a better car, if I could just get ahead a little bit more, maybe you turn to drugs or slot machines or whatever it is, we're trying to fill the void of a father. I believe that's built into all of us, whether you had a great dad or not. Whether your dad was awesome like I did, I had an awesome dad, I still do. This isn't just for you in the room that go, yeah, I didn't have a dad. No, this isn't just for the people who had a deadbeat dad or a dad that walked out on them. This is for everybody in the room. Every single person deals with this at different levels. Even if you had an incredible dad, everyone feels this void of the father in some way, some shape, or some form. And if I can't get it from my dad, I'll get it from a bottle. If I can't get it from a bottle, I'll go get more money. If I can't do that, I'll go find a girl, or I'll try to get ahead in my career, or I'll work myself to death. And you know, some people even try to get it from their children. Got quiet in here. But listen, you got to hear this. We have an unbelievable gift as Christians to go straight to the source, to go straight to the Father. We have this amazing access to a heavenly Father, and he's perfect in every single way. And that's really challenging for some of you guys to hear today because you're thinking of your father. Right? When you hear father, you think of your father. It's like, it's easy for us to say Jesus because Jesus is a savior and there's no other savior. And it's easy really to kind of understand the Holy Spirit because there's something spiritual to that. But when the father, when he says father, your mind is already going in places that maybe you know is wrong, but it's still in your head. Maybe you're thinking that. You're thinking, well, I can't do this, I can't do that, because I'm thinking of my father when he screwed up in this area, or my dad was impatient, or whatever. But let's go back to our verse here, Matthew 3. And the voice from heaven said, "This is my son whom I love, and with him I am well pleased." God says he is well pleased with Jesus, and I'm going to blow your mind here and tell you some crazy stuff that's going to help you. God thinks you are awesome too. Oh, okay. It's hard to believe for some of you. God is pleased with you. Some of you are like, no, you don't know what I did yesterday. No, he's pleased with you. I'll show you why. Ephesians 1, verse 4. Got it on the screen. Write it down. If you're taking notes, write this down. Ephesians 1, 4. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. In Christ. Everybody, in Christ. Say, in Christ. Put your hand in the air. Say, I am in Christ. So if that's the truth, if you are in Christ, that means, listen, that means you are covered in Jesus. You are in Christ, so when the Father is looking at you, he is looking at Jesus covering you. When the Father looks at you, he sees Jesus. Yo, that's good stuff. That can preach. This kind of preaching is going to get you set free. This kind of preaching is going to keep you, because how he's pleased with Jesus is how he's pleased with you. And you're like, but Josh, I didn't do anything to earn it. Yes! You can't. Amen. There's nothing you could do to earn it. But you're like, oh, I don't know if this is true. I'm not sure. Listen, it has nothing to do with what you did. It has everything to do with Jesus did. Amen. So this term in Christ or in him or in whom, this is in our New Testament over 130 times. I think it's important. So how about this? Romans 8:29. For God knew his people in advance that he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Listen, Jesus is the firstborn son of all of us. He's our brother. He's the firstborn son. He's the firstborn to show all the next sons and daughters how the relationship between a father and son should go. The relationship you're called to have with your heavenly father, Jesus, his whole life, is trying to show you that. In Christ, you are as just as much as a son as Jesus is. Some of you are like, that don't sound right. So it's in your Bible. It's the gospel. You didn't do it. There's nothing you could have done to earn it, but you got to receive it. Amen. That father void, you can't fill with anything else, and you will try to fill that void. You will try to break cycles in your life. You will try to be good fathers. You will try. Listen, if we want to be good fathers, good husbands, good workers, if we want to do all that, listen, we better find out who our father is and what he thinks of us. Our voice of approval comes from heaven. It doesn't come from earth. Friend, you got to hear that. Your approval for your life, you should not be seeking anywhere except for him. Amen. Comes from heaven, doesn't come from earth. Yeah, you might get approved here for things, but listen, his is way better. His is way more validating. His is way more fulfilling, because it's like a hole in your heart that you're trying to fill with all this counterfeit stuff. Yeah, we still got issues. Yeah, we still got problems, but he loves you. Amen. He loves you. Listen, you ever do that too? You're like, okay, I'm good. I'm over that. And then somebody says something to you, or somebody posts something, or somebody cuts you off in traffic, and you're like, okay, I want to slash your tires. Like, and then you're like, whoa, where did that come from? And then you're like swearing, you're saying, well, where did this come from? What did this? We think we're so healed, but listen, when somebody exposes the pain, it realizes that we got a long way off to go. And some of you are in your later years of life, and there's things in your life you thought you got taken care of, but now you're like, oh, I still need my dad. I still need the Father's approval. See, remember, he told Joshua, he said, listen, if in order for the men to go into the promised land, this is just a side note, in order for you to go into the promised land, the men need to be circumcised. And when they're healed, they can go into the promised land once they're healed. Well, how do they know that they're healed? When it doesn't hurt anymore. Listen, we all need to go continually to get healed from the Lord. You can't enter that kind of promised land until you've been healed. You can't enter the fullness of God in your life until you are healed. But you have to let God heal you. Ben said that today. Ben's like, you have to give it to him. You have to allow the Father to come and work on your heart. I want the Holy Spirit to come and heal me. God, I know you're my Father. God, I know it. I'm tired of running to fake sources. You got to get to that point where you can see, I can't do this with all the stuff here. I can't get it from a person. I can't get it from a pastor. I can't get it from a spouse or money or a job or significance. I can only get it when my Heavenly Father says, this is my Son who I am well pleased. So, if you want to be a better dad, a better wife, a better mom, a better anything, there's three things for you. They're super easy. I made them super easy, but please take notes. Your notes, you could look back on. You open up your notes app on your phone if you don't have paper or use your bulletin. Take notes because this is something that can change your life. Maybe not today, but maybe you'll look back on it later and God will do something or God will remind you of this because I believe God is speaking to every man, woman, and child in this place today. Three things. Number one, write this down. I am a child of God. You are a child of God from birth, not by worth. Come on. You are a child of God from birth, not by worth. You couldn't earn it. You can't discern it. You don't deserve it. But the moment you said yes to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life, you became a child of God. That moment, the moment you said to Jesus, Lord, would you be my past, my present, my future? Lord, would you take everything, all the shame from me? The moment you did that, you were born into the kingdom of God. You are a child of God by birth, not by worth. Yeah, that's good news for us. Matthew 3, again, we were just reading this, and a voice of heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. When God looked at Jesus and said this, oh, I want you to get this, please. When God looked at Jesus and said this, Jesus hadn't even done a single miracle yet. He hadn't even started his ministry yet. He hadn't done anything. Jesus got his approval from the Father before he tried to walk out his destiny. Amen. He got that from God before he did ministry. You know, a lot of times we think, well, the Father loves me, I better earn it. What did he do to earn it? Nothing. He hasn't healed anybody. He hasn't done anything. Because listen, we need to get our approval from the Father before we try to start walking in our life of what he's called us to do. Too many people are out there, they love God, okay, they got that, but they have not received the approval from the Father, and they try to walk out what God has called them to do without receiving the approval. And the problem is, because they didn't receive the approval from the Father, they're trying to get it from everybody else. They're trying to get the approval from their spouse, from their kids. Listen, can I be honest with you? No one is capable of that. Your wife is not capable of that. Guys, your children are not capable of that. You must go straight to the Father for your approval. You must go to it because too many people are trying to do that. Listen, I can say this. It would be super easy for me as a pastor, right? I got to be careful. Because if I'm not getting the approval from the Father and I'm trying to walk in what God's called me to, I'm going to start preaching messages to you that I think you want to hear. Because I'm trying to please you. But God's not, listen, if I want to be a good shepherd, I got to go to him. Whatever you do in your life, you have to go straight to God. I'm not trying to be Dr. Phil up here or anything, okay?
I'm not trying that. But Jesus receives his approval before he ever ministers, before he ever heals the sick, before he raises the dead, before he preaches messages, before he multiplies fish and loaves, before he walks on water, before he turns water into wine. He receives approval. And we, before we do anything else, need to first go to the Father for his approval. If I want to be a good husband, I got to go to the Father. If I want to be a good son, I got to receive sonship from the Father. Before I try to be a good pastor, I have to know the one who shepherds my heart. Amen. Jesus is addressing some fathers in Luke 11. I don't know, I've heard people preach out of this multiple times, but when I read it like this, it's just amazing what God, what the Father God is like. Luke 11, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, would give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, would give him a scorpion. If you then, though you're evil, I love that he just throws that in, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What he's saying here is he's saying, you imperfect fathers, you know how to be good. You know how to be good dads. You know, you're not going to screw with your kids. How much more in comparison am I? Guys, some awesome dads in this room. I got one right here, Mike Whippy, awesome dad. Justin and I both love my dad. Awesome dad. But he ain't better than God. Sorry, Dad. He ain't better than God. God is saying this is how much I love you. I love you. Can I say that some guys are in here right now that's like, God's mad at you? No, he's not. God is not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. Amen. And I know that's hard for guys to understand because love, you're like, isn't it like for Valentine's Day and maybe an anniversary? No. This love is the love that will power your life. This love from the Father, this approval from the Father is something that you can pretend you don't want, but the truth is you do. The truth is, because you work it, you show it in many different ways. God is saying this is how much I love you. I'm crazy about you. And you can't surprise, because right now, everybody's like, okay, he loves me, but, listen, you can't surprise God. Amen. Some people, you know, you get mad, you ever get mad, it's because you got shocked by something. You're like, whoa, and you're angry. He knows everything. So he's not angry. He knew that. He knew the stupid thing you did on Friday night eons ago. And he still loves you. Amen. Accept it. He's not like, oh my, I didn't know Josh was going to do that today. No, he knew you were going to do that. You can't earn this position. You can't pay for. You can't achieve. But you can receive this position. You can receive it. It's like my youngest. I love her so much. Arden is six. If you ever see, she's just the cutest thing. And she's the youngest, so she gets to do whatever she wants, really. We are so strict with our first one. Still am, but I'm not with Arden. But Arden, like, she's six. And listen, please don't get mad at me when I say this, but she doesn't contribute at all to the home. You know what I mean? It's not like she's cooking. She's not washing dishes. She's not, you know, paying the bills. She's not cutting the grass, taking out garbage. She ain't doing nothing. No contributions given to the Whippy home, except for maybe laughter. But listen, even though she doesn't contribute, I love her. Do you know why? Because she's my girl. She's my girl. I love her, and she can do nothing wrong, and she's the cutest Polish baby ever. I love her. You're born into this by birth, not by worth, and he loves you. I don't know who said this. I had heard it once. I tried to find it online. It said who said this, and I don't know. I don't know, because there was a lot of people who've said it. But here's the phrase. Grace sets the table. Faith eats. Let me break it down. Grace sets the table and faith eats. God is saying you can stop striving. You can stop trying to achieve. You can stop trying to earn. Can you just sit at the table? Can you just sit at the table and enjoy my goodness? Will you just come to the table and stop trying to earn things that you could never earn? Just come to the table and receive instead of trying to achieve. Listen, the table's been set by his grace. Now it's time for you to have the faith to eat and receive. Stop trying to earn it. Stop trying to strive for it. Stop trying to achieve it. Stop working for it and start worshiping. That's why we worship, you know. We don't worship to like kiss the ring of the boss, right? The mob boss to make everything is good. Okay, here you go. Are you gonna love me now? No, we worship because he loves us. We worship because the table has been set and it's grace, not works. He loves you because of who you are, and you are born into his love. And when I talk about worship, there's so many of us that, you know, when you're worshiping, I don't know if it's in your brain, but this is like, will tell you that you may look at the Father wrong. If you're in worship and you're feeling guilt and shame, that ain't the Father. That's the enemy. That's the enemy of your souls trying to get you scared and upset. Listen, I want to be repentant. But if you're feeling like, oh, God, I love you, I'll never do it again. I love when we try that one. I'll never do that again. Stop saying that. Just say, God, I really don't want to do that again. Father, help me. Help me. When we're worshiping and we're doing this, God is saying, I paid the price. I did all of this. And now you can come and enjoy. You can come and worship. I think I can't help but think of my children. There's again, because with all my daughters, they don't pay anything. I pay for the electricity, me and Jess. We paid for the electricity, for the AC that they have, the Wi-Fi, you know, they got the internet. We have that's all the stuff that we've provided for them. They just enjoy it. I feel like God is saying, I have so much for you just to enjoy. Would you just come sit with me at the table? Just come sit. I want to talk to you. I want to tell you how much I love you. I want to tell you how much I care for you. I want to throw my approval to you. See, because he paid the bills. Just like I paid the bills, he already paid the bill. You know, I pay the electric bill. I pay the light bill. But he did all the heavy lifting so that we can worship. We're not working to achieve it. We're not worshiping just so that he would do that. We're worshiping him because, hey, I'm a child of God. All right, here, number two, write this down. My Father loves me. My Father loves me because he's your Father and your Father loves you. Check this out. In 1 John 4, 17, it says, this is how love is made complete in us. So that we will have confidence. Everybody say confidence. Confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. Some of you have been in church for your whole life and you're still not confident of where you're going to go on after judgment day. Some of you have been in church for a long time and you're still not confident and sure of your salvation. And I believe that's because you haven't tried to receive the approval from the Father. Listen, you're going to heaven, okay? If you're in Jesus, you're going to heaven. You still think it's up to you, though. You still think, well, maybe if I do this or if I get my reading plan going, I only missed a couple days, I'll catch up. Oh, I'll make sure I pray for people and go to my small group and do all these things. And okay, now I got the confidence. That should not be the motivation for doing those things, to find it. Your motivation is that he loves you. I mean, that's the problem, right? Because you have this and you have this motivation and you think that you have to decide it. That's why, you know, you come to church and I was saying, like, you're like, I don't know what I'm doing because you got lit on Friday night and you relapsed a little bit. So now you're like, I don't know. And you come up to the altar and you're crawling under the altar because you just want to get more. Ah! Chill. He loves you. Stop trying to strive. Stop trying to get that. Stop trying to do those. Listen, God is a strong warrior, and he's a big boy. He can handle your screwed up, messed up life. He can handle it. See, some preachers will come up here and tell you, Some preachers in the world will come up here and try to tell you that God's mad at you and God's angry and you're just a nasty sinner and all these things. You know why? Because they're mad at themselves and they want to keep you in the seat. So they use fear to keep you in the seat. Sorry. I'm just preaching the gospel. I'm just preaching grace. We don't ever have to worry about where we're going. When you said yes to Jesus, your ticket's been paid, but now it's hard to live in the freedom that God gave you. Now it's time to go to the table and start eating with the Father. You think Jesus is worried? You think Jesus is up there and he's like, man, I really hope I can stay here on the right side of, I really hope I can. Man, no, he ain't worried. He's got confidence, and you are called to be like Jesus. You are called to have the same confidence because the way the Father looks at Jesus, the way the Father loves Jesus, is the way he loves you. And so here we are, not in heaven. We're in this world, and there is no fear. Listen, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, amen. It has to do, listen, the punishment that he took, the fear you have has been perfected by love. He wants to cast out all the fear. You're like, oh, awesome, Pastor Joff. What do I got to do, love God perfectly? No, that's not what I'm saying. It's not your love, it's his love. We couldn't love God perfectly if we wanted to. You don't have the capability. We're in like this world right now and we got this vessel of flesh and we're trying to just be more like Jesus because he loves us. And isn't it amazing how we do those self-righteous prayers? I'll never do that again. Oh God, I'm never going to do that. Don't try. I won't do that again, but I will do this the next time. Stop. Stop trying to think that you have anything to do with your salvation. Listen, it was chosen for you. You accepted Jesus. You said yes to Jesus. And he said, you are in the family of God. I love the guys who are like, I can't believe I lusted. I'm like, you're still a dude. Why are you shocked that you were tempted? You shouldn't be shocked. Jesus was tempted. But you're a sinner. Well, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I looked at that on the internet. What are you doing? What do you mean you can't believe it? Can't believe it? Where's your expectations set in your life? Listen, my expectations is like, I want to love God. I just want to know more of him. I know people right now are like, Josh, don't give anybody a license to sin right now. Listen, I don't even know where you find those. Roscoe, he's not with us. He's at Gold Church or something like that. But Roscoe went and got his DMV. He had to go to DMV and get his license renewed. And when I know where you go there, you go to DMV to get a license, but a license to sin, I don't know where you get that. Listen, no, there is no, that's not what we're doing here. That's not what I'm doing. What I'm trying to say here is here's what I'm trying to say. Our motivation, if your motivation is trying to earn God's approval, you're going to fail and give up and then you'll never get it. But if you're trying to just pursue God and find the Father's heart for you, listen, you can do no wrong. I tell kids, I'm getting old. I tell young people who are getting married when I do like counseling, or even with people that are twice my age when I do marital counseling, I tell them this, and this is for everybody in the room. Here's a freebie. If you and your spouse both pursue God and chase after God and try to receive his approval over your lives, your marriage will not fail. The problem is when one is going towards the Lord and the other one isn't, or both of them aren't. And ladies in the room, if you want a successful marriage, find somebody who has received their approval from God. Because they're not going to try to suck the life out of you. Because that's not what you're meant to do. You're meant to be there and be a partner with them, not be their source of approval. That's only meant for the Lord. All right, let's move on here. We live by grace and grace alone. That's what he gives us. See, this process of freedom, it's a process of freedom because God, the way you look at God, the way you look at the Father will dictate how you operate in your life. For example, if you look at the father as if he's angry and disappointed and shaking his head, I can't believe this guy's doing this. If that's how you look at the father, you're going to run from him when you screw up. Because you're afraid you're going to get a whooping. You're afraid that he's going to be disappointed in you. You're afraid of those things, so you run from him. Isn't that crazy how the enemy gets us to do that? How Satan loves to get us mad and to get us having a distorted view of the father? You know, because he's the father too. He's a father of lies. And I don't want the devil to be my father. I want him to be my father. So, okay, let's just move on. All right, here we go. All right, so let's move on. I also think when we're running from God, because of how we view him, how you view the father is also how you view the family. Listen, how you view the father is how you view the family. If you have a negative view of your heavenly father, you will have a negative view of the people sitting around you right now. And then when you're in trouble in life, you won't go to church for the source. You'll go to all the cheap counterfeits out there. Listen, I'm not perfect. I'm not asking for anybody to be perfect, but I'm free. You're free. All right, here's the last one, number three. Mac, if you could come up with the keys in a little bit, that would be great. Number three, my father likes me. You know what I mean? It's one thing to say the father loves you, loves me. I think we could all kind of get our heads around that. But let me tell you, the father likes you. He likes you. Yeah, we all got family members that we love, right? Well, we don't really like them, right? It's like, I don't want you to get hit by a bus, but, you know, I don't really want to eat turkey with you. Like, there's people that you love, but you don't like. God loves you, and he likes you. The Father likes me. This is my son, in whom I am well pleased. So what does that even mean? What does pleased mean? I had a fun time with this. Please means to find pleasure in. He calls it good. He calls Jesus good. He calls you good. It's good. He finds pleasure in you. It means to be approved by the Father. He approves you. It means this word please, this whole thing right here means to be favorably inclined. Favorably inclined. That's why you see a son in court. If a son's in court and he did some terrible things and he's going through it, there's always like a mom or a dad in the background being like, not my kid. My kid's awesome. It's like when I, you know, if a PCF kids worker comes up to me and says, Arden was hitting a bunch of the boys and was being a distraction and blah, 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 blah. Okay, you want to know what I'm really thinking in my head? Those boys probably deserved it. Little punks. Leave my daughter alone. I don't know. We don't say that out loud, right? We don't tell everybody that. But in your head, you're like, they probably deserved it. Not my baby. Why? Because I'm favorably inclined to them. I'm favorably inclined to them. And then when the devil accuses you, your father goes, uh-uh, that's my kid. Not my kid. It's probably your fault, and it is, right? He says, no, they're under the blood, man. They're covered by Jesus. You might see him that way, devil, but I don't. Because I'm favorably inclined. We never really realize how much his love is for us, but not only is he favorably inclined, this word please, it also means that his response to you is not judgment, it's favor. Favor. You have God's favor. Fathers, you have God's favor on your life. Walk in it. Go to the table, eat and partake. This word pleased, it means to be decided. That means that God made up his mind that you're his kid and you can't change it. You can't change it. It's all, hey, Romans 8, nothing can separate you from the love of God. It's made up. It's set in stone. You are his child. There's nothing you can do to earn it, but there's nothing you can do to lose it. And that makes you want, I don't know, somebody, I don't deserve it, I get it, but something in my spirit says, thank you, God. Amen. Right? That's the response to his favor, is thank you. This word pleased means the Father is willing. The Father is willing. I don't know if you've ever read through the Gospels, but so many times people are coming up to Jesus and saying, I know you can do this, but are you willing? They knew he could do it. They just weren't sure if he was willing. And every time Jesus says, I am willing, I am willing. That I'm telling you today, the Father is willing. Go ahead, Mac. Jesus' response here is he's saying, I'm willing. The Father is saying, I'm willing to take your burdens, to take the things that weigh you down. I'm willing. And this is the one I love the most. This word pleased means to be content. God is content with you, men, fathers. He's content with you. This means that he's in a state of peaceful happiness with you. He's not nervous. He's not, you know, just mad, huffing and puffing. He's not sighing. He's not shaking his head. He is in a state so calm that when he sees you, he's in a place of peace and happiness because he loves you and he likes you and you're covered by Jesus and he wants to spend time with you. So you're like, okay, Josh, what do I do? What are you asking me to do? I'm asking you to fall in love with Jesus. I'm asking you to go and pursue the Father and his approval for you. You pursue the Father because, listen, you don't have to do anything. You just receive it. But like Ben said earlier, if we don't give him our stuff, if we don't go to him, if we don't go to the source, we're going to all the other places instead of him. You are a child of God. You are loved by your heavenly perfect Father, and he likes you. There's nothing you can do to change it. There's nothing that you can do to make that different. But here, like it was said, like Ben said, fathers, we're so glad you're here. But you set the stage. You set the stage. You know when fathers, you drag your kids to church. I know some of you kids are like, yeah, that's me. Yeah, I'm glad you do it. I'm glad you drag them. Because what's going to happen is someday that kid's going to drag his kid to church. And he's going to grab his kid to church. Yes, it might be hard. It might be challenging to get here on a Sunday morning, especially in May when it's turkey season. It might be hard when it's opening day of Shotgun or the Bills are playing. I get it. But listen, show your kids where your priorities stand, that you get your approval from the Father. Because there will be generations of blessings. You're like, well, my dad never brought me to church. Break the curse. Break the curse today. Men, set the stage. The reason why this church is healthy is because we got a lot of men in this church who are passionate about getting the Father's approval. So set the stage, not just for your kids, but for the rest of the men in this place. You know, you know where you're at with the Father's approval. If you're in worship and you're more worried about what other people are thinking about you than what the Father thinks about you. Listen to this. I wrote this down. You've probably heard this a million of times. You've probably heard this before. If you live for people's approval, you'll die from their rejection. But listen, I added more to it. If you live from God's approval, you'll be given life from his acceptance. So I'm not living for approval anymore. I am living from approval from my Father. I'm in a club that I can't get kicked out of. Yeah, I held a bus at one point, or I held up a sign on the bus because I wanted to get approval. I drank those beers, or I smoked that first joint because I wanted approval. Or maybe you're here today and you were with somebody for a long time because you just wanted their approval. Or maybe you're the person that's just posting on Instagram every time so you can get likes and approval from other people. But I'm telling you right now, that's a waste of time. The joke's on us. That's a stupid thing that we were trying to do, because we can go straight to the source. We can go straight to the Father. It doesn't make sense in this American system that we live in, but listen, it doesn't compute. But I am so thankful for the grace that I don't deserve and I couldn't earn, because it makes me want to shout and praise him. Amen. Let's stand together and give him a round of applause. Father, thank you so much. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. Just extend your hands towards heaven in a way of saying, Lord, like dad, would you pick me up? Lord, would you help me? Father, you see all the men in this room, all the fathers, and right now, Lord, I pray that you would just right now give them a double portion, a blessing, that they would hear your voice saying to them, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Lord, I pray for the daughters in this house. Lord, for the women as well, that they would be known, that they would know that they are children of God, that they're loved by God, they're loved by their father, that they're loved and he likes them. He likes spending time with them. Lord, I pray that over the children in this place. But Lord, right now, all of us are just responding, God, we need you. Lord, we know you set this table and Lord, we're eating at it. And we're saying, thank you. We don't deserve it, but I just want to worship you. I just want to spend time with you more. Lord, thank you for your approval. Thank you for how much you love us. And we pray, Lord, that all the men on this day, all the fathers, will feel your approval right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you did on that cross. If there's anybody here and I've been talking about getting saved and you're like, I don't think I ever did that. Right now is a good time to do it. Amen. So right now in your own heart, you could just say, Lord, like I said, Lord, I'm screwed up. I'm messed up. Take all my sin. Take all my shame. Lord, would you be the Lord over my life? Lord, would you come? I'm sorry for what I did. Jesus, I want to live for you. I want to be in your kingdom. I want to be a child of God. Lord, please help me. Please help me. I invite you into my life. If you said that prayer, you are a part of the kingdom of God. You are a child of God. Right now, nothing can change it. So what you do from this point on is you go and find the Father's approval. He's got it for you. It's ready. Just go pursue the Father. Don't try to earn it. Don't try to do any of that. Just go and enjoy the Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen.